Warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Now, there's a law. Positive things happen to positive people and negative things happen to negative people. It's a law. Positive things happen to positive people and negative things happen to negative people. The amount of grace available notwithstanding. Positive things happen to positive people and negative things happen to negative people. You remember, Jesus would meet people and he would say to them, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Remarkable. So, you are positive, so be it unto you. You are negative, so be it unto you. It's a law. According to your faith, according to what you believe. And your belief is the thought or idea that you have come to accept as truth. Your inner reality. This is according to your inner reality. According to what you have come to accept as truth. It can be positive, it can be negative. But it says you never rise beyond your attitude. Quite a number of years ago, I read Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do by Robert Schuller. And one of the highlighted statements in that book, I'll never forget. It says, attitude is more important than facts. Attitude is more important than fact. I'll never forget that statement because as simple as it sounds, it's powerful. Attitude is more important than fact. You need to think about that. Attitude, that is what you think and how you feel and what you say and your actions, your behavior, put together is more important than the reality. That's what he's talking about. Let's put it some other way. What is happening inside you is more important than what is happening to you. What is happening inside you is more important than what is happening to you. But that's what the whole of the Bible is all about. 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Attitude is faith. Faith is attitude, period. Okay? We walk by faith and not by sight. What is he saying? For the believer, what is happening inside us is more important than what is happening outside us. That's what he's saying. We walk by our attitude, not by our experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The ones that are not seen are eternal. That's attitude. I won't see your thoughts. I won't see your emotions. I won't see your feelings. But when my thoughts and feelings are influenced by heaven, because that's what faith is. God's thought transferred into my mind, producing God's emotions. I can't be sad about what God is excited about. When I know what God knows about the situation and I think what God thinks about the situation, I'll have the same feelings that God has about the situation and say exactly what God is saying about that situation. I have the same attitude with God. That's faith. So he says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the ones that are not seen. The ones that are seen are temporary. The ones that are not seen are eternal. They're powerful. So you read through your Bible and you notice one thing. Positive thinkers experience miracles. Positive thinkers experience miracles. In Mark chapter 5, one man came to Christ. And his daughter was sick and at the point of death. He begged Christ passionately, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay hands on her so that she can live." While Jesus was going there, a woman touched him, God healed. So while Jesus stopped to take a testimony, somebody came from this man's house with bad news. Mark 5:35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." You see, the problem was not the problem. The problem was the man's attitude. And as soon as somebody came, you see, this man had a positive attitude. While Jesus was walking with him to go to his house, he was expecting a miracle. He was optimistic. He was expecting the best. He felt like something was going to happen. And then there was an interruption. And then this bad news comes and throws his attitude from positive to negative in 1 second. And as soon as his attitude crashed, Jesus stepped in and corrected his attitude, because if Jesus allowed that negative attitude, no miracle was going to happen. So Jesus stepped in, because positive thinkers experience miracles. So you read in your Bible, it's remarkable. In fact, in this same chapter, let's talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 27 of the same chapter says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." I will be well. That's what she was saying to herself. I'll be well. I'll be well. Somewhere along the line in this series this week, we'll be talking about self-talk. We'll be talking about inner dialogue. The things that you say to yourself inside that other people don't hear. How some of us run ourselves down. And you see, those things that you say to yourself have tremendous control over your feelings. That's your attitude. So there's the inner dialogue and there's the affirmation. There's the one you speak out. And here was a woman, I'm sure you know, both inside and outside, she was talking about healing. "I'm going to be healed. So I'm going to touch Jesus, and I'm going to be healed." Not many people talk like that. Not many people talk like that. I like when I remember how I used to walk on my feet in this city and talk to myself. That in this Lagos, we will ride these fine cars together. Remember the day I walked into an empty hall, my first pastorate in this city, walked into an empty hall one weekday in the morning, nobody was in the hall. I walked into the cinema hall, I looked up and down, and I said, "Praise the Lord, I've come here to preach to the members of my church. This place is filled to capacity with some 2,000 to 3,000 people. I did a very, very short sermon. I walked through the aisles. And then I walked back, closed the service. And while I was walking out, I spoke to myself. I said, how does it feel to be the pastor of a 2,000 to 3,000 member church? It feels good. Walked out. Then I went and sat down in my office on the chair and was dreaming about it. I let the thing see my hallelujah in my spirit. That was self-talk. It's the direct opposite of worry. Why is my own like this? Attitude is more important than what? Fact. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now watch everything from saying to thinking. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Then he switches over to the inside and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Result, he shall have what is on the ground? No. Whatsoever he will have his attitude. He will have his attitude. Attitude is more important than fact. Your attitude today will determine your success tomorrow. Attitude is more important than the mountain. Your attitude is more important than your lack of education. That's what he's saying. Agreed, you don't have a degree. But if alongside that you don't have a positive attitude, you are in trouble. You may not have a degree, but you can't afford not to have a positive attitude. Your attitude is more important than your not having one hand. That's what he's saying. The fact is you don't have one hand. But he says, even in spite of that, your attitude is still the real issue. Okay? So what is your mountain? So that's a big question. What to you is a mountain? What's the difficulty? What's the obstacle? He says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed. In his mind, he's seeing the mountain removed. And he says he shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. So he's even feeling as if the mountain is going to move. To the extent that he is talking to the mountain, that the mountain should move. So what is your mountain? Lack of money. Your attitude is more important than your lack of money. Lack of connection. Your attitude is more important than that. Agreed, you don't have connection. But the Bible is saying here, you're not having a connection is a small problem. The bigger issue is your attitude. Attitude. Oh, you don't have a job. That's understandable. But your attitude is more important than the lack of a job. Oh, you don't have a car. Great, there was a time in this city when I didn't have a car. But my attitude was more important than the lack of a car. God is not motivated by your lack. He's motivated by your faith. It's your attitude. The key issue in Christianity is attitude. Main thing. So, what is the implication? When you change your attitude, you change your life. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See that? He said, if you can have a positive attitude, all things are possible to him that has a positive attitude. You're struggling to be successful? Get a positive attitude first. Okay? If you can get that, he says, all things are possible. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were there in prison. Prison. For the wrong reason. They were being maltreated. Okay? They were being cheated. They were being oppressed. They were in prison. If anybody had a reason to be very angry, be annoyed, and to be sorrowful, and to be grieved, it was Paul and Silas. And if it was present day Christian, they would call somebody that night. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And did what? Sang praises unto God. And as soon as they engaged this positive attitude, engaged the positive cheer, was God himself that stepped in. It was earthquake. And listen, an earthquake. Thank you for adding to the sound effect. You know, he helped to add to the sound effect of the earthquake. The Bible says that they prayed, sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. They were not like everybody else. In prison is not an exciting place, sir. But these ones were different. They brought their own atmosphere. Woo! In prison, it's okay. Anybody can sing when things are okay. Anybody can sing when Brother Victor is on under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and with key sticks on the drums. Woo! And Brother Sam on the guitar, the lead guitar. Anybody can dance when all that is going on. And then as soon as you step out, you have to take Okada. And on the Okada, the brother who was sitting next to you in church just drives past in his Toyota Avensis. Somebody is suffering in this Lagos. I read about a man in the U.S. His name S.B. Fuller. Grew up in a poor family. But when he was young, his mother spoke to him one day. She said, SB, we shouldn't be poor. And don't ever let me hear you say that it is God's will that we are poor. He said, we are poor, not because of God. We are poor because Father has never developed a desire to become rich. She said, no one in our family has ever developed a desire to be anything else. That thing that woman said was born on the spirit of her son. He became a multimillionaire. Boy, I may not have money to give you, but I cannot allow you to grow up with a negative attitude. Your father lived all his life with a negative mentality, with a poverty mentality. Boy, I'm not going to allow you to grow up with that. They don't ever let me hear you say that it is the will of God, because that's the excuse of the person that is mentally lazy. It is work. We're going to go through it. And then when you get the true definition of spiritual warfare, you will see it's about your attitude. It's about your attitude. Satan knows the impact of attitude on life. So he has sat down. He will use every possible means. He will use people. He will use circumstances to trick you into a negative attitude. And at the end of the day, that negative attitude will be your own liability. And this woman was not going to allow this young man to grow up with this junk. And I like the statement. We are poor, not because of God. Maybe it is the will of God. It is not. Maybe it is the will of God. It is not. If it is bad, it is not. Poverty is not the will of God for you. They wrote the Bible before you were born. Your situation cannot erase what was written. Your life cannot become the eraser that will erase some verses of scripture. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. If they obey and serve him, they will spend all their days in prosperity and all their years in pleasures. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. I'm the Lord who teaches you to profit, guides you in the way that you should go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Proverbs 15:15, I will quote, you write, I teach for research, for further research. Okay? So, we won't have to open to all the verses. But I will expect after you leave here to go and check whether what the man said was true, because his mouth was very sweet. Go and check for yourself, okay? Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. What does that mean? Bad things happen to bad people. Okay? Let me put it this way. Bad things happen to negative people, and good things happen to positive people. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Bible. The person that is sorrowful, the person that is discouraged, the person that is negative in thinking and emotion, bad things happen to them. He says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. He said, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. This year, whatever it is that will tempt you to feel afflicted must be dealt with. This is a day for merry hearts. It is the month for merry hearts. It is the year for merry hearts. Got to be merry. Got to be. Satan may take anything this year, but he must not take your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. It's where your power is. If he can't take your joy, he can't steal your destiny. He that is of a merry heart. The greatest battles I've had to fight have had to do with my attitude. I used to be worried. I used to be anxious. I used to be concerned for my destiny. So, attitude is power. Attitude is everything. Attitude is it. When a person has a negative attitude, there is no amount of anointing that can make a success out of such a person. That's why we have to start on this note this year. There is great grace. But in the midst of great grace, there can be great frustration. I mean, what greater grace would you expect a person to experience than what Israel experienced in the journey from Egypt to Canaan? What else? Talk about anointing. Have you seen a river that was parted in two that you walked through before? As anointed as you are with the Holy Ghost. These people saw life. Woke up in the middle of the night, and with only divine precision, the firstborn of every family, including that of Pharaoh the king, had died. And the firstborn of all the animals, without exception. With all the health and doctors in Pharaoh's palace, with all the protection, the firstborn had died. And these people who were slaves were released into freedom in one night. And people who were paupers the previous night became wealthy overnight. It had to be a divine power that would cause poor people, slaves, to be able to walk up to their masters, and anything they asked for, they got. Wouldn't you like that to happen one day in Lagos? Some people just start running from Ajegunle to VI to VGC. Anything they ask for, they got. All the money, all the gold, all the silver, they got. Marched out triumphantly. And Pharaoh was coming behind them, and God parted the Red Sea. They walked through. When they were thirsty in the desert, they were looking at a rock, and water gushed out of the rock. In the test, they drank miracle water. There was no food in the desert. Birds came, you know, and there were so many of them. When they went out, the birds waited for them to come and pick them. Not that's miracle meat in the desert. How many birds do you expect to see in the desert? The birds came and waited to be caught. They had wafers supplied from heaven, baked in the oven of heaven. No bakery in the desert. Yet they were eating wafers. No nation was powerful enough to win a single battle against them. You wage war, you don't lose a soul. They walked for 40 years and their shoes did not wear out. 40 solid years. If there was anybody who was supposed to believe in the reality of the power of God, in the possibility of miracles, I think those people should have. Numbers 13. Come and see them. Numbers 13. They had clothes on. 40 years. The clothes do not wear out. And I'm sure you know, especially for the young children, they didn't remain the same size. As they grew, their clothes grew. They saw miracles. Saw the possibility. What God could do, right in the middle of that, they got to the border of Canaan. And Moses says, look, God already told us the place is great, but let's get some of you to go check it out. Actually, they demanded, we want to go check it out first. They didn't have to check nothing out. They should just have walked straight in. They didn't check nothing. It was already obvious that they were going to take the place. Nothing could stop them. So there was nothing, no point doing any serious survey. Walk in, obey whatever God says. But then they appointed 12 leaders, sent them out. And then after 40 days, they came back. Numbers 13 from verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, this year I pray that no nevertheless will frustrate your positive attitude. Some people can start out with a positive attitude, but with just one setback, they fall, and then they never rise. In great, positive, good, and that's what happens when people start a new year like this. There's excitement. There's hope. I thank God for creating years. I thank God for creating weeks. I thank God for creating days. Because with that, he brings closure to time. If it was one long day, some people would be in big trouble. But you see, when you come to the end of a day, there's closure. And then we have time to dream again. And then hope is rekindled. Then we start afresh. His mercies are new every morning. So, you see why people take the end of the year and the beginning of a new year so seriously? Because it brings closure.
It's a Yoruba song. You know that they sing at the end of the year. The year is going. You know? The year is going. And then they say a prayer for the new year. At least in this new year, whatever will bring sorrow, let's not see it. But listen, if your attitude in the new year is the same as it was in the old year, the new year will be exactly the same as the old year. Nevertheless, verse 28, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. And you know the Bible was not written in chapters and verses, so you can just flow over to chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. All night weeping. See, the people crying had not gone there. Leadership has tremendous impact on attitude. Be careful who you are listening to. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Negative. Verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Negative. You see that the presence of the anointing does not automatically guarantee a positive attitude. A positive attitude is a personal responsibility. The supply of the grace is God's business. When grace meets a positive attitude, the miracles happen. And I'm saying that in the midst of miracles, there are still people who will have a negative attitude. It's a battle to fight. Majority of the people were negative. They were negative. They were people like us. They just showed human nature. They were a type of New Testament Christians. People with a negative attitude repel miracles, repel prosperity, repel money, repel people. They miss fantastic chances. One man had spent so many years cutting wood. And the man who bought, one particular man who bought from him, used the wood in his fireplace in the house. But his fireplace could only take wood of a particular size or diameter. He knew that. But this particular day, when he supplied the logs of wood, the owner of the house was out to town.
When the man came, he saw that the man has supplied wood that was wider in diameter than he should have supplied. So he called the man so that the man would come and split the wood. Call the man on the phone. The man said he was sorry that if he had to do that, the energy he would expend on splitting the wood would be more than the energy he expended on cutting the wood and bringing it to his house. That he was sorry he couldn't do that. So the homeowner himself began to split the wood. And he saw this particular one. When he touched it, it sounded hollow. And when there was this hole in it that was covered with some black foil. So he took his axe, smashed it, and out fell this paper. When he opened it, it was money. $50 notes, $100 notes. Somebody had hid the money there. Then wanting to be a man of integrity, he called this man again. Who owned the plot from which you cut the tree? He said, look, I'm sorry. That it is, everybody has his trade secret. That is a secret. If I tell everybody my secret, where will I eat from? I'm sorry, I can't tell you. Money. He missed money because of a negative attitude. That's how people miss money every day. Not only money, miracles, opportunities, every day because of a negative. See Jesus. This was Jesus. What else were you looking for? This was Jesus. In his hometown, they said he could only heal a few people. This was Jesus. It's remarkable how close people can come to Jesus and still not be blessed. It is not the fault of Jesus. And then, you know, some people will just jump around from one conference to the other, from one church to the other. And then they say, they are looking for anointing. You know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm there. It is not the absence of anointing that does not allow people to get miracles. He said, where you have two people in my name, I'm there. The fact that you are running around is proof you don't believe him. It is proof of a negative attitude. He is present in a cell meeting. He said, according to your faith, not according to the number of people present at a program, according to your faith. In the midst of a crowd, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, touched him. He said, somebody touched me. It was disciples that said, come on. Sir, with all the people pushing you. He said, I said, somebody touched me. What was the difference? It was not in the physical touch. It was in the faith. It was in our attitude. This year, somebody here will catch fire. Yes. And people will come and watch you burn. Yes. It's the year of great grace, sir. Great grace. What I see is remarkable. What I see happening in this church this year is remarkable. An uneducated man with a positive attitude will succeed faster than an educated person with a negative attitude. It's grace. It is the year for the unqualified. It is the year that the, quote and unquote, hear me very well, the ugly sister will marry faster than the beautiful sister. I said quote and unquote because actually there's nobody who is ugly. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The problem we have is that some people stand in front of the mirror and call themselves ugly. How will you get a husband? You said you were ugly. How will somebody else see beauty in you? According to your faith, so be it unto you. It's now already showing on you. The little bit of touching that you should have put on your hair, and you know that you should have put on your face and all of that, you are not putting nothing because you believe you are ugly. But you read 1 Peter chapter 3. There's an inner beauty that radiates on the outside. This is the year that the contractor without connection will get a contract before the one that has connection but has a negative attitude.
This is the year.
It's the year for supernatural overtake. Say horn before overtaking. This year, no horn. Overtake. Hallelujah. This year, you will see the child of a poor man with a positive attitude become rich faster than the child of a rich man with a negative attitude. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen.
So, if you have the education, you have the beauty, you have the connection, add positive attitude to it. And then watch out for an explosion. I want to challenge you this year, be an incurable optimist. Be dangerously positive. I said dangerously because some of the people you will have to confront will be people who normally should intimidate you. And you will stand your ground. Oga, I respect you, but this is my year. Hallelujah. Daddy, I really appreciate what you are saying, but this is my year. It may seem on the outside now that I'm unemployed, but I'm your richest child. This is not a year for pity party. If you are looking for people to sympathize with you, you won't find them here. I'm willing to believe with someone, but to cooperate with somebody to worry, that's not part of my goals for this year. This is the year that you must accept no excuse for failure. Maybe, no. It is my year of great grace. Caleb and Joshua ran against popular opinion. You may sound crazy, but it's better to be crazy and successful and to fulfill destiny than to be politically correct and accepted by people and join the bandwagon of failures. I would rather be in the minority and fulfill my destiny than be in the majority and end up an unfulfilled person. This year you must be willing to run against the tide, swim against the tide of popular opinion. And when I talk about you being willing to deal with negative people, I'm not even essentially talking about people outside. I'm talking about your friends here in this church. That was a congregation. Those were not idol worshippers. They were God's people who had seen miracles. They had seen people healed. They've seen the dead raised. They've attended the same services with us. They are the ones that have the greatest potential of limiting us. They can quote scriptures to us. They had the same messages that we had. When somebody repeats to you everything that you know and ends it with but, that's the most dangerous person to listen to. I know the success formula. I know that Joshua 1:8 says, I know that this says, I know Deuteronomy 8:18 says, I know that Pastor Sam said, I know that but, run away. I know that we left Egypt by a miracle. I know that God parted the Red Sea. I know that God brought water out of the rock. I know that birds came and fed us. I know that we ate wafers from heaven. I know that, but, You see, because we are saying great grace, but a negative attitude is not allowing some people to see the possibility of what God will do this year. We're saying great grace, great grace, great grace. But all of a sudden, if by the end of June you are talking about buying a jet, then you will see the real stuff that people are made of around here.
The very people who said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, they were there at the watch night service, they were there at the Thanksgiving service, they were there at word explosion. You'll be shocked at their reaction when you tell them, I'm going to buy land, build a house, and finish it before December. And this is July. That's the implication of great grace, sir. Ah. That some people who are not yet engaged by the month of May will be married by the end of December. That's great grace, sir. Doesn't have to be like that for everybody. I'm not asking you to rush you. If you even try to rush, we will deal with you. Our counselors will deal with you. But I'm saying, when grace is in operation, those of us who are in the leadership of the church ourselves know enough to know that God is going to bend rules. That God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. That God is going to turn the desert into a wilderness for somebody. We happen to know that. So when you're speaking in August, I'm going to move into my own house this year, and you don't even own land yet, get ready for your friends. Get ready for church. But I thank God for the spirit of Joshua. I thank God for the spirit of Caleb. I thank God because out of 12, there are going to be those two. In this star this year, who will believe for the impossible? Incurable optimists. Incurable optimists. Incurable like Jesus Christ. Who had what they said to the man? He had what they said to the man. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Jesus had what the man had. But the thing did not affect him the way it affected the man. There are people like that here tonight. This year, Satan will not have the anointing to manufacture the bad news that can sink your mood. This year, you have become impervious to bad news, to negative emotions. Incurable optimists. Jesus had what the man had. He did not react the way the man reacted. He jacked the man up. Hello, sir. Don't be afraid. Only believe. When he was through with the woman who had had the issue of blood, said, let's go to your house. And when he got there, come and see them. Like I usually say, you know, they were crying as a choir. Some were crying soprano. Some were crying treble. Some were crying alto. Some were crying bass. It was an orchestra. And Jesus Christ got there and said, hello, why all this noise? She is not dead. She is only sleeping. Negative people exaggerate the problem. Positive people minimize the problem. Hallelujah. She's not dead. She's not dead. That's going to be your language this year. They said, they sacked you. He says, no. They moved me into transition. This is the year. I said, Satan will not be able to manufacture the bad news that will corrupt your mood. Jesus was an incurable optimist. Dangerously positive. She's not there. She's only sleeping. And when he moved in, you know the first thing he did? The Bible says that he asked them to move out. Because negative people are not entitled to witness miracles. Took Peter, James, and John and the parents and went in. Young girl. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. This year they will see the genuineness of your Christianity. They will see positively crazy people. I thank God that in spite of the things I went through, God taught me the attitude is more important than facts. And I changed. I changed Jia, a bush boy who should have been lost. Lost. There's no, if they would arrange it sequentially, there's no way I would not have come to the city and now enter center stage for that matter. To do what? Somebody who was fighting for survival when it seemed as if there were forces conspiring to hold me down. Something's against me. Listen, you have to pass that. Somewhere along the line, I became too much for whatever forces. I became a force. Anytime we read Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And each time Christians imagine in their minds, when they say principalities and powers, they are thinking of demons that are very powerful. Nonsense demon. When I read the place again now with a positive attitude, I saw principalities and powers. Principalities is from the word principal. Or from prince. If the devil has princes, God also has princes now. So the same way there are principalities in the kingdom of the devil, there are principalities in the kingdom of God. I am a principality. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I am a principality. I am a power. I am a ruler of the light of this world and a good spirit in heavenly realms. Because the Bible says that I've been raised together with Christ and I'm sitting with him in heavenly. I am a good spirit in heavenly realms. Hallelujah. There are too many negative people around. Enemy, my enemy, 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 enemy. Nonsense enemy. Me. Attitude is more important than fact. Enemy is a fact. My attitude is more important than the enemy. Did I hear you say amen? I took one Yoruba proverb. It says, if you pound yam inside leaves, and it's describing a state of lack, and that however much lack may be around, there are always people who prosper. So this proverb says, if you pound yam inside leaves and prepare your soup in the shells of groundnut, the man that will be satisfied will be satisfied. One day I said, that's me. That's me. If they pound Nigeria's yam inside leaves and prepare Nigeria's soup in groundnut shells, I shall be satisfied. There are people whose brains cannot recognize lack anymore. I cannot recognize lack anymore. One pastor called me from England last week. He said, sir, I heard you say something from your tape a few years ago. He said, I've never forgotten it. He said, he attended a meeting where I spoke in England. He said, you said that if they put you in the desert today, that you will succeed. He said, that thing has challenged me. I said, that's the truth. That is the truth. Incurable optimist. Incurable optimist. Incurable optimist. Incurable optimist. Tell your neighbor, look at me. I am an incurable optimist. I am dangerously positive. Listen, somebody brought bad news to Jesus. He thought he was going to cry. He said, hold on. He said, your friend Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. Jesus said, hold it. This sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of Man should be glorified. Hallelujah. I said, Satan has not manufactured the bad news that will make you sad this year. Did I hear you say amen? You may look crazy, but you are qualifying for the best breakthrough you ever got in your life. This year, things will show up that you did not plan for. I know you wrote goals in your diary, but look at those goals very well. Because my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or think. Lift your hand to the Lord. nothing that guarantees your breakthrough is the covenant. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and thank God for the blood covenant. Thank God. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him because he never changes and he cannot change. If it was a man who gave you some promise, then there was the possibility that it would not work. It's God. It's his word. Celebrate his faithfulness. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. And then go ahead and pray and make a commitment to him tonight. I'm going to live by your word this year. I'm going to live by your word this year. Shame on the devil. Shame on my circumstances. I'm going to live by the word this year. The area in which negative thinking assaults you. You know the area where negative emotions affect you. Today, we will stand against them and pull down every stronghold. The spirit of discouragement, the spirit of fear, the spirit of worry, anxiety. Today, you will leave me. I pull down every stronghold, every negative thinking pattern. I remove the influence of the devil from my emotions. I submit my mind to the Holy Ghost. I submit my emotions to the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This year, I submit my spirit and my emotions to peace. I submit my emotions to peace, to joy. Isaiah 61, Jesus came to change your attitude first. I will give them the oil of joy for mourning. Tonight, I receive the oil of joy. I break free from the spirit of mourning. To give them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Shake off that spirit. Tonight, the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of worry, anxiety, apprehension about the future, negative thinking, break your power over my mind. Proclaim and receive my freedom tonight. Yes. Pull down strongholds. I'm from a poor family. That's the biggest lie of the devil. I'm now a member of the family of God. I break free from poverty thinking. That spirit of limitation that keeps putting fear in my heart. When I think of raising 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, what's the big deal? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I break free from limitations tonight. I receive power in my spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says, God will strengthen you with might in your inner man. I receive power in my spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, tonight I declare I walk by faith and not by sight. Tonight I declare what is happening inside me is more important than what is happening to me. This year, I have become an incurable optimist. Father, if you are looking for someone to give a miracle, I declare tonight, I am the one. This is my year of great grace, my year of joy, my year of peace, my year of celebration, my year of breakthrough, my year of favor, my year of opportunity, my year of open doors. This year, bad news will not affect me. It's not my year of sorrow. It's not my year of mourning. I have traded my sorrow. I have taken the joy of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. What was impossible last year has become possible this year. This year, I enjoy sound health. I enjoy sound health.
this year I enjoy divine protection. No evil shall befall me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This year I will enter Canaan. I will enter my promised land. I will enter my destiny. This year, no giant can withstand me. This year, no mountain can stop me. This year, nobody can withstand me. This year, I will lose no battle. It's my year of promotion. I will be celebrated. This year, in the name of Jesus, I shall not die. I will live. I said, this year, I shall not die. I will live to declare the works of God. My going out is blessed. My coming in is blessed. All my journeys are blessed. Whoever travels with me is safe for my sake. This year, my family members are blessed just because of me. This year is my year for supernatural turnaround. God said he will turn it. He said he will overturn it. And overturn it. And overturn it. Until I arrive. Because it belongs to me. He said he will give it to me. This year, every decision that is made, not in my favor, will be made again. And again. And again. Until I get it. In the name of Jesus Christ. This year, somebody will remember me for good. They will mention my name at a meeting. It will result in my promotion. What did not work last year will work this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. I arise. I shine. My light has come. The glory of God is risen upon me. If you believe it, shout a powerful amen. Woo! The mountain was so big, everybody saw it on your behalf. This year they will look, then they will shine their eyes, because the mountain that was there will disappear. If you believe it, say a good amen. One day, you don't have a job. The next day, you are driving a fine car. You now have a job. Last month, you didn't have a baby. This month, something has happened. Almost out of no, they will see them coming out. Blessing that cannot be hidden. Like Sarah, those who laughed at you will come and laugh with you. Stretch forth your hands towards this communion table. It is the covenant that makes it possible.